Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Few songs serve as a better introduction for a person and a day as Sandstorm by Darude, bringing us back to a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. What we need to do, Lamphill, and maybe we can talk to the folks at Scotty's and get this done, we need to send PFT a case of Scotty's. That's what we need to do. Joining us right now via the BetQL guest line presented by the BetQL Network, wagertainment for every
fan.
After
he does the show.
Yeah. Or before. It might get hella interesting. Our friend, Mr. PFT Commenter, of course, you can hear him on the Pardon My Take podcast, the biggest sports podcast in the universe, as well as all his content on Barstool Sports. PFT, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up? You can send me a case of anything. I don't care what it is. That's my general rule of thumb. Somebody wants to send me a case, my door's open.
What about a case
it's good,
of
though, PFT.
Pimento
it's smooth,
cheese
man.
Sandwiches?
It's smooth. No, he don't want that.
What do you, a case of what?
Pimento cheese sandwiches.
No.
Yeah, I'd like that to be refrigerated if possible.
and not have frozen peas on it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? What the hell? Yeah, I'll take pimento cheese sandwiches.
All right, we're gonna work on vodka next, but we'll get you more pimento cheese.
I figure out a way he could do it.
All right.
Send the pimento cheese in the little jar that it comes in, but send the bread, and then when you get it, you just put it over it. There you go. Bam.
I like it.
We got it all figured out.
Yeah.
PFT, at various times, I think there's been real reasons for optimism with this Commanders team, especially after, you know, seeing some version of an explosive offense, both in a week one win and a week two loss. Last week against the Eagles, the wheels kind of fell off, and weirdly, here in D.C., I think it's kind of an even split of some fans being really optimistic going to Dallas and some fans being quite apprehensive about this trip to Dallas for the Burgundy and Gold. Where do you land?
I look at it a couple of ways. So right after the game last week, I was down to my last straw again with this team. I was so upset. I mean, the offensive line combined with Carson Wentz and his desire to just kind of like drift into sacks all day long made it a painful watch. But I went back, I looked at the box score, and I realized, wait a second, we only lost one quarter last week, so we technically didn't lose three out of four quarters. So I've reached that point in rationalization with myself where I'm just trying to find any silver lining possible in a 24-8 loss. They did their damage in the second quarter, and we had nothing else that we could do until, you know, way in the fourth and garbage time. We managed to come back, score 8 points, whatever. So it wasn't – I guess I felt like I just got my ass kicked all day long on Sunday watching that game. But in reality, it was a quick and painless death, really. They just put me out of my misery in the second quarter, and then I kind of just drifted off and stopped paying attention to the game for the most part of the second half. But I think in this case, the NFL is one of those – it's a weird league where – the Dallas Cowboys weren't expected to beat the Giants last week. They weren't expected to beat the Bengals with Cooper Rush at quarterback. And I feel like now people are talking about it, like Cooper Rush, not that bad of a backup, pretty good backup quarterback. People are all 100% down on the Commanders. I feel like this might actually be a weekend where the Commanders should win this game. Like, that's how the league goes. It goes back and forth. If you're a mediocre team, you know, you're not one of the three best or the three worst, and I guess that might be up for debate right now, but I don't think that we are one of the three worst. Then any team can beat any team any given week, and it's always the teams that are unexpected that end up beating the teams that have all the current hype. So I feel like we might go into Dallas and steal one. We were talking about the game and the uniforms more specifically on today's Part of My Take, and we're wearing the all-black uniforms for the first time. They look great. They look awesome. but we're kind of wasting these during a day game. Like, it's a 1 p.m. kickoff, right? Like, the black uniforms, they need to be debuted under the lights in a night game. That's when they give you that boost. In a day game at 1 o'clock that not that many people are going to watch, it's like, it's kind of a waste of a uniform debut, in my opinion.
I actually agree with you on the uniform stuff.
I totally agree with him.
I don't know how it goes because they'll be on the road in Chicago, which is their first night game. But if they broke them out for the Bears night game, would be awesome. But I guess both their night games are on the road, so they might not have the option of wearing the blacks in that.
Well, it'll be cold here soon, then you can wear black in the daytime.
That's true.
Like against Minnesota when you had planned to do it. Yeah, like that.
Yeah,
it is weird because they say this was the plan all along, but I feel like they would have made a bigger deal out of it months in advance. But who knows? So the way I look at this, PFT, is we're just assuming that at some point they will stop giving up so many explosive plays defensively because they did it last year and then eventually they stopped doing it. Like they flipped a switch and stopped giving up 50-yard bombs every week. So let's hope slash assume that's the case. Offensively, though, to me, that you're hoping and relying on three things to win this game. Scott Turner alters the game plan to attack Dallas differently, maybe running the ball more and relying more on quick stuff in the passing game. The offensive line performs better. But more than anything, you need a much better performance out of Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
What of those three, or maybe all of them, are you most confident will happen?
I think that Carson Wentz's performance is entirely based upon outside factors. So he has to be in the perfect situation to really excel. He has to have a clean pocket, and he has to have receivers that he trusts. I think just get him into like a quick passing game early. So hey, here's the game plan for Carson Wentz: get him through the first two drives without getting sacked, and I think he'll be confident. If he takes sacks early, you can see like he gets this look where he starts to see ghosts, and he just gets he gets terrified and petrified every time he gets a ball in his hands, and he does dumber stuff. He becomes more sackable as the game goes on if he starts to take sacks early. Like he looks like a lost deer in the pocket when he's drifting back there after he's been sacked a couple times. He's skittish. He's terrified, and I think sometimes I was talking with Roan, my coworker here, the other day, and we were breaking down Carson Wentz's pocket performance. And I was telling him, like, Carson Wentz gets social anxiety in the middle of plays. He, like, develops it. He gets scared as plays go on. And Roan was saying that he thinks Carson Wentz doesn't have object permanence. You know how, like, when you take a tennis ball and you show it to your dog and then you hold it behind your back and your dog's like, oh, my God, where'd that ball go? With Carson Wentz, he has that, but for pass rushers. So he'll see them coming at him and he'll step up to avoid them. And then after they get behind him, in Carson Wentz's brain, he's like, oh, they're gone. They're not there anymore. But no, the guy just comes back and will sack Carson Wentz from behind.
Oh, he just goes straight to where the guy is.
Yeah, exactly. He'll just drift right back to him. He needs to either develop object permanence. That's one option. Or another is he just needs to get into a rhythm early where they have him throwing like short screens, quick slants, things like that, where he doesn't have to take five-step drops and subject himself to a pass rush. I think you just got to have to handle Carson Wentz like he's a six-year-old sometimes. That's the reality.
What I've been doing today, I hear the optimism, and I don't understand it, but I can understand. But I think it's more hope than optimism. So whenever I hear someone say how optimistic they are, I'm thinking of you saying you're hopeful. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't you said that, second half and this, that, and the other. When you have a 24-0 lead in the NFL, you just don't play the same way. You normally pull back the reins. You lay off the reins a little bit. You're not beating the horse with the whip. You're just letting him cruise through. And I think that has a lot to do with the second half last week then, because when you're not being challenged, you don't have to play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right, and I'm being delusional. I'm being completely open to how delusional I'm being. Don't get me wrong. We stunk last week. That was depressing. I got depressed watching that football game. That was tough. And just going through the box score and looking at the fact that they only beat us in one quarter, that's me just 100% just trying to find something good so I don't feel like such a loser.
So in other words, I'm right with the hopeful thing.
You're absolutely right. I have no reason. Brian, does anybody have any reason to be hopeful about this team ever? Like, legitimately, a reason to be hopeful?
That's a dangerous question to answer, if you're going to be honest.
I'm going to throw a party. I'm going to invite you over, and I'm going to invite a few people, my friends I know, and I need you to talk to them.
When was the last time you actually had something that you were, like, seriously, seriously hopeful about, like confident that something good was going to happen? I mean, yeah, you can say, like, Jahan Dotson. Like, that kid is awesome. I love Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, yeah.
I love watching him play. I love watching Terry McLaurin play. Those are two great guys to have on your team. I can't say, like, I'm hopeful. I can't say, like, okay, what am I going to do? Like hope that he gets Rookie of the Year? That's nice. That's a nice thing. But as far as the entire team goes, it's like, no, I don't really have any reason to be hopeful. Like, they haven't given me a reason to be hopeful. Maybe you string together a couple wins. Like, you know, granted, back in, I guess that was 2020, I felt hopeful back then in the second half of the season. There was a little bit of hope there because our defense was just so, so damn good. But no, there's absolutely zero reason to be hopeful right now. If somebody says that they're truly hopeful and optimistic going into this weekend, they need to have their heads examined because they are clinically insane.
Well, I mean, nothing you said is inaccurate, but it's scary to think about because what the hell are we going to talk about for 4 hours today?
We'll find things, believe me.
I know. Like, I'm kidding. But.
Like we all want the team to be good, right? I think I'm speaking for everybody. I'm rooting for them. I'm still pulling for them, but I'm also, at this point in my life, I have to be realistic. I've seen this movie a million times before, and it's tough after last weekend. Just like such a thorough butt kicking that we got. It's especially given the fact that they drove what 37 buses of Eagles fans into Landover, Maryland.
At least,
yeah. I mean, I think it was 37 buses from one travel agency. It came down to Landover. That's another reason why we need a new field, by the way, is because like they all know where our field's at right now, and they make it like an annual trip, like a pilgrimage, like when geese or ducks fly south to their nesting ground. They know they've got their routine set now. They know what hotels they're going to stay in. They've got the restaurants they're going to go nearby. They know exactly how to handle that trip down to Landover. Just get a new stadium just so that they have to like learn a new routine, and maybe we won't have 33% Eagles fans in the stadium every home game.
You know what they need to do? You know, like I think they do this with Air Force One, or they definitely do it when the president's on the helicopter. And they have two of them, so that, you know, if you're trying to do something bad, you don't know which one's which. The Skins need two stadiums for Eagles games, and you don't announce which one they're going to play in. And so whichever one all the Eagles buses go to, you go to the other one.
Yeah.
I like that idea a lot. That's great.
Got to think outside of the box with this. zooming out from the Commanders, PFT, who's the best team in the NFL?
That's a good question. I still think it's the Bills. I really do. I think they've got some injuries on defense, and their safety's being hurt. That's gonna be a challenge for them. But I still think that the Bills are the best team. I think they're better than the Dolphins, even though they did lose to them last week. I like the Bills. I think they're more complete. I like Josh Allen. The Dolphins have a great offense right now, but it happens a lot in the NFL where you get a new head coach in, and he's got, you know, he's got different ideas.
That offense is not great after last night.
It's not great after last night, no. And I mean, the Tua stuff, like, a lot of people are saying hindsight's 2020. On Sunday, I think everybody was saying Tua should not be back in this game right now. It was abundantly clear. And that's in that game. And then the fact that he was playing on Thursday, going into that game, you know, obviously we don't have access to all the tests. We don't know exactly what kind of procedures they did with Tua and where he was in the protocol, or if he was even in the protocol to begin with. But my speculation on that is that I don't think that Tua was ever truly in the concussion protocol. I think they just said he had a back injury, and if you have a back injury, then I guess there's no need to be in the protocol. But again, I don't have all the facts on the situation.
You sound like you know more than the damn doctors.
Well,
because what you saw with your eyes and when he buckled and then what happened last night, there's no way that I would not put those two things together.
Right, and it's not even hindsight, because we were saying this. A lot of people have been saying this all week, that Tua should not be playing in this game on Thursday. It's not like we're going back and retroactively being like, oh, yeah, we should have. No, we did know. We all knew. Mm-hmm. And you played in the league for a long time. I think you would understand that, like, you can't just take a player's word for it if they get hurt, because they want to get back in the game. Of course they want to get back in the game. They're playing against the Bills, division rival. This could have playoff implications, to say nothing of the fact that if a player gets branded as being injury prone, if they have a concussion, that costs them millions of dollars down the line. And then also add on top of that, they just want to be out there with their teammates because they care about their teammates and they love playing football. So of course, every player is going to say, I want to go back in that game. Like, I'm fine. Let me back in. You can't just take them at their word. And with our own two eyes, we saw the fact that Tua was hurt on Sunday. And at some point, somebody has to step in and be like, we need to protect you from yourself going back into this game.
Has anybody ever thought about this one here? When you have a brain injury, it can make you say and feel different things, right? When they went to him and say, what you feel, he probably said, my back hurt. You know why? Because his brain was scrambled up the way he got hit. So, yes, I can understand him talking about, well, back injury. He told you he had a back injury, but you got to check something else.
Yeah.
I haven't seen many people's legs just buckle like that. You know, with a back – I've never seen a person's leg buckle like that with a back injury that they want to play 4 days later. You get what I'm saying?
No, it's not. It wasn't a back injury. It's clear that it was not a
back
injury.
But if it was a back injury and his legs buckled, you damn sure don't want to put that guy on the football field, because now you're talking about spine injuries and things of the nature where you can end up paralyzed. You get what I'm saying? So
it's a great point, because if it was truly an issue with his back, it's not like that's that much safer. Like, you could actually disable him for life if there's a back injury to the point where you can't walk on it.
So now are we saying that, he can end up paralyzed. That's worse than that's better than a concussion. Because if his back was hurt to the point where he buckled, he's not playing 4 days later.
Yeah, and when you're at that age, you don't really think about your future that much. You just, everything is what's right in front of you. You want to get back in the game. You want to keep playing. But you get a couple years on you. You look back in your 30s and your 40s, and some of that stuff where you get injured and you go back into games. I'm sure that's scary to think about. And you're like, man, I wish I hadn't done that. In retrospect. And so you have to have somebody that's there, like, looking out for their long-term interests and being able to say, okay, you're not going back in this game. So I guess it's a long story. That's a long way to say that the Dolphins have some serious explaining to do.
The NFL does.
And setting aside, you know, the performance that they had last night, I do think, like, just from a football standpoint, I think that with an offense like that, they'll have a lot of success. I am skeptical that it's going to keep firing on all cylinders going into the colder months, and it might just be the aqua jerseys. We always say, like, that's candy ass. You can't play. When I look at those Dolphins jerseys, are you telling me, like, you're going to be able to run the ball for 170 yards a game in December?
It looked like the stuff I put in my water to make my bubbles in my bathtub, man.
I still like the Bills. I still think that the Bills are the best team in football right now. And then I think
JP, you might not want to tell him who NFL.com said is.
Oh.
The Eagles. Yeah.
Yeah, Eagles are very good. I put a future on the Eagles earlier this week. I put down $500.
Wow.
I put $500 on the Eagles to go 17-0 in the regular season. Wow. And I think it pays out $15,000. So
if you put $500 on them to go,
$500 is not like a little flyer.
It's gonna pay way more than $15,000.
I think it was $15,000. Maybe I got bad odds, but I mean, the Eagles do look really good, and it stinks because, like, I love, you know, they're division rivals, so it's fun to hate on them sometimes. But they're kind of a fun team to watch this year, so you have to give credit where credit's due on that one. So yeah, the Eagles are good. The Bills are good, obviously. And then I also think the Packers are going to continue to improve as the season goes on.
I think the Bucs will too, especially as some of those receivers come back and they get some better offense. PFT, we always appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
All right, man.
Let's make sure, Landfill, let's get PFT a case of vodka. Let's put that on new business, all right?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.